today, because that's what true worshipers do. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to lead and to direct us. And we ask this in the name, the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As part of my devotions, I continually read through the Psalms. So I'll read one or two or three. Usually what I do, and you guys can do your own thing, whatever, but works for me, is I'll read maybe two or three, and then I'll read the last one that I did the next day. So if I read one, two, and three, I'll read three, four, and five the next day. And I love to read the Psalms as part of my devotions. And I'm back into the beginning of the Psalms, and I was reading from Psalm 8 this week, and I'd like to read this. And I'm praying and believing that it's going to lead us into some Thanksgiving today. So think about what you're grateful for. Our worship should be on the wings of gratitude. And listen to what David wrote. And then I want you to just think about some of the things that are going on in your life. I know not all of it's wonderful, but what are you thankful for? What is God doing? How has he answered some prayers that you've been asking and calling out for? How do we say thank you to God? And you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but there's a great inadequacy. I feel inadequate saying thanks. It's like you've been given so much, and I want to pay him back. You know, like I want to give him something, but you can't. Like there's nothing I can do but say thank you and come to terms with that. That we realize that the best thing I can do is just say thanks, God. Not I got to pay you back, or I'm going to work harder, or I'm going to be better, or any of that kind of stuff. I'm going to do more. I'm going to go to more Bible studies. I'm going to go to some seminars that I wouldn't have gone. No, I don't. God says I don't want any of that. I mean, you can do all that, but don't do it for that reason. Just say thank you. Yeah. What can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you? What can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, oh God, completely to you? Yeah. Thank you. Man. Psalm 8 says this. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. So if you want to silence the foe and the avenger in your life, then praise and give thanks, just like infants and children do. I'm going to read it again. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Amen. Amen. All right. So, Ken, I wonder if you'd grab the microphone. If you just help me out this morning. Crystal's going to give you a microphone, and I got one here. How are we going to thank God today? It's time to say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Who's first? Well, I guess David's first. Sorry. Kim, and then Stephen, and then, well, I guess Ricky's first. You're not going to sit down, you're first, so.
I want to praise the Lord with everything that is within me. Yeah. Surrender everything that I love here on this earth. Mm. God is my God, and he is doing an excellent work in all of us, and he's beginning to do that in me too. I can only hope that I can be fully, fully surrendered to him, to his will. And so here I am, Lord, the way I am.
Amen. Amen. Kimberly.
Amen. I've been so blessed. July 14th, me and Richard will have been back together for a year, so it's just over that. And
That's good. We should say thanks for that.
Amen. You know, it was 10 months and 28 days that we were separated, and God brought me to, I believe it was Mark 10:28 that says, with God, nothing is impossible. And Richard, God has just transformed him. If you guys see his eyes,
you see it.
And I prayed for her husband just to be like Jesus, and that's what he has become. And I just really want to give God thanks just for his faithfulness. And it was hard, but out of it has come such wonderful things. Yeah. And Richard is amazing. We pray morning, in the morning and in the night. And there's such a rest. Yes, God. Even when, you know, the trials come, God has really taught us to just rest. Rest in his love and not to be so religious, you know. How we just feel like we have to do things just to be close to God, but he just wants us to rest and in the love for one another as we both get closer to God. It's just been so amazing at what I've seen in Richard and even in myself, just being in that rest. And God is good, and I thank you all for the prayers. And we haven't been here, but no, we didn't leave the church. But it's just been amazing. I want to just thank Richard for all of his love, and I know it's going to get even greater.
Amen. I'll grab that. Just, Stephen, just before that, let me just add one thing. You know, there's a real cynicism in the world that says people can't change. People don't ever change. But you know, with God, that's not true. God changes. Most of us here have been changed one way or the other, and we don't believe that cynicism. God changes hearts, and he's good. So, Stephen, you're next, and then I think we've got Tola and a few back there.
Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord. You know, there's one thing I want to say today. I got blessed. I came here with an expectation in my heart. I came here to worship the living God, not be religious, not just make people uncomfortable. I love to worship God, and I love being in the place of God's people. You know, there's a place where you can come where it's even better than your house, the quietest corner of your house. I just want to say, people, the world we live in is very dangerous. If we cannot begin to worship God like he is really worthy of worship, of being worshiped, now how can we even think about doing it when the hardships come? I'm telling you right now, I stand before you that I've got so much to be thankful for. Where do I begin? Where do you begin? Where do you begin, Brother Paul? Where, Sister Crystal, Brother Stan, where do we begin? My wife, where do we begin to say thank you? Yes, and this is a beautiful thing to watch people worship God. Thank you for offering me to come up and worship God with you on that platform. That's a holy place. I take such great honor knowing that I feel at home and I can worship God with all that's within me. All that's within me. Amen. Whether it looks strange or not, I don't really care. I didn't come here to I didn't come here to please anybody except my God.
That's good. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God is good. I'm grateful to God because I was praying for a promotion in my office, but unfortunately I got fired.
Next week.
And the question I asked God is, God, what I requested for is not what you've given me. I was asking for a promotion, and I got fired instead. And I was like, yes, I mean, you want a promotion, you'll get it. Unfortunately for me, 2 weeks after I was fired, I got another job, and that wasn't even an employment job. It was a contracting job. So I just want to bless God because he's been so faithful. He's been so wonderful. Many times I feel the whole world is on my shoulder, and God is just there to show himself. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. When we're so down and it looks as if we just can't get out of this pit, you've tried your best, you have prayed, you have fasted, you've gone to so many people. It just looks as if nothing is not going to come out of it. But I tell you, God is there. He's watching. He's watching, and he will just make a way where it seems to be no way. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Rob?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The first will be last, and the last will be first. And that boggles my mind. In my life, there were all kinds of snares.
Yeah.
The first one was probably the biggest. And it becomes the last one. I get to... he can take away. Because
yes.
It's beyond my power. I can't even get my hand under it.
Yes.
He lets me breathe. He gives me peace.
Yes.
And I'm thankful for the peace.
Yeah.
It was... over and over and over, and I'll say this for the human spirit. We can endure.
Mm-hmm.
The human spirit is amazing, but it's unlocked with the power of the Lord.
Exactly.
And in his partnership, there's no hindrance. There's no need to be worried.
That's right.
And then, yeah, he sets me free from fear.
Yeah.
And that gives me great peace.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I'm going to pray for you a minute. God, yeah, we give you praise and honor and thank you. I pray for Brother Rob. And you know, Lord, you know what he deals with. You know what his illness is. You know how it is sometimes an impediment in his life. But I thank you for what he's sharing and for what he's testifying about again today. And that we believe today that this is going to silence the foe and the avenger, because it's what your word says. So, Lord, help him to continue to breathe well. And thank you that you remove all fear. What a great and amazing God you are, that your perfect love removes and casts out all fear. So together, right now, all of us, we pray for Rob, and we love him. And we know God, and we trust you, because you've never let us down. You are always trustworthy. And that you're going to continue to walk this journey with Rob and lead him and guide him. And just wrap your arms around him. I thank you for the amazing faith that he has in you. I pray that you will just bless him, and that faith will be just transferred to others as they see the close walk that Rob has with you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 minute. Okay, don't. I thought you wanted to. Yeah. Okay. Don't give me that blank look then.
What's the mic for, Stan?
You need
it. Nothing profound. I'm just thankful for warm weather. And we could we grabbed the canoe and went for a float down the river the other day, and it's like, thank you, God,
yeah,
for nice weather and a nice place to enjoy it. We're able to enjoy it. Yeah, he gives us good things.
That's good. David talked about that too, right? All the moon and the stars and creation. Okay, Gord.
Hello. Oh, there you go. Hi, everybody. I'm not used to hear my voice that often, but anyways, I'm very grateful for today. I'm very grateful for the son and my daughters and stuff like such. And I know that in James it says, consider pure joy when you face many trials of many kinds, because it builds perseverance and perseverance character and character hope. I think that's how it says. But then I have to admit, you know, God is a God of restoration. However, at the same time, what is it? Silver for the furnace and gold for the crucible. He wants us and the dross to be removed. We know that we're not perfect. I'm not perfect, you know, in any which way or fashion. And then the Lord led me to the Old Testament in Job, and I'm just going to read this, and I'm just going to share a little bit after. Job 2:7. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Keep heart. Curse God and die, he replied. Woman, You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. And so that's the testing of my faith. And so what I'm grateful for is that God has brought me through mm-hmm. a lot. Mm-hmm. And so within that, I glorify God through the fact that he is my Savior and I am a sinner, yep. but I am rectified through the blood of Christ, and we are all rectified through that. And turning away from my prideful nature in which I thought that I, you know, look what I have, but I didn't have nothing. This I work for a kingdom in heaven. I work for riches in heaven. So kindness, love, joy, peace, yeah. patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, these things I work for.
Amen.
You know, feeding the poor, giving money doesn't mean anything in this world because it's not going to mean amount. You know, like, I mean, it's just all that amounts is the Lord's grace and his glory upon us. Yeah. And so, in other words, I'm going to go through trials. We're going to go through trials. We're going to be purged. We're going to go wonder why. But there's a reason. And it doesn't happen overnight.
Good.
So, you know, yeah. financially, hey, I'm not making it. But that's fine. That's okay. God has my spirit. He has my soul. He has everything of me. And so he'll take care of us. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And he does. So I give glory to God for
Amen.
That.
Glory to God.
Yes.
Good word. Linda.
Well, trials, like going to trials is really hard. It's my life over and over again. But like God's blessings is marvelous. It's like I became a grandma July 20th. He's a boy. His name is Ezekiel Arius. Like thanking God, I thank God for everything that he's giving me, no matter what it is. Mm. It's like perseverance. Like I've learned so much and grown so much. Even like sometimes like I just want to go the other way, and I've been thinking of the way of how am I going to go the other way. And I'm thinking like there is no use of it.
That's right.
It's And I don't know how to go to the other way mm-hmm. either, because like I love my kids and I love my family, and I love God. I want God in my heart and yeah. in my life. I don't want to just be a called to be a Christian. I want to be called like a follower of Christ. It's yeah. not. It's the one that I want to pursue, and it is hard with the kind of life we have right now, growing teenagers and you know, trials and tribulation yep. is. But God gave me wisdom, yes. knowledge, understanding, even in the hard life that, you know, you just want to give up. And yep. But God is always there.
Amen.
He never left me, never forsake me.
Amen.
He never left our family. We're still, you know, even with everything, it's sometimes I will say, like, God, some friends will ask me if I regret marrying my husband. I said, I can't really say I did because I've learned so much. I've grown so much. And it makes me more focused on God rather mm-hmm. than going the other way and
Good
giving
words.
Up. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's powerful. Wow. We got time for just a couple more, so...
First, me, I want to thank God that we have a church who loves to thank Jesus. I went to a camp with my sister, a Christian camp, and they wanted to, they asked to thank Jesus, and only two people said thanks to Jesus. And I was hurt inside, and it was a little boy and me who thanked Jesus only. And I said, and that little guy said, I want to thank Jesus for my life. And it is so wonderful that the truth will come out of the mouth of a child. And me, I said, I want to thank Jesus that for the gift of salvation. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to thank Jesus that there is no other name by whom you can be saved. And I'm so glad that God put this in my spirit to say that, because when a church is full and only two people say thanks to God, some people need to wake up. And I'm glad that here we are awake and we love to thank God.
Yeah, we don't have that problem here.
And I'm glad that we praise the rising Son of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To God in the earth.
Thank you, Lord.
Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I would just like to thank the Lord for the freedom that he's given my husband and I,
yeah.
for the great adventure that we've been on for so many years, because neither one of us have much tolerance for boredom. And he has just been wonderful and keeping our lives very exciting. And I thank him and just worship him and praise him for that.
Yeah. And all the people said amen. I know there's some hands up, but I think we thank God. There's always more we could do, you know. It's funny, it wasn't that long ago that I had a discussion with some other pastors, and we were talking about the different worship services, and I was saying, well, here's something we do sometimes. You know, we just open it up, and people will say thanks. We'll just share what they're grateful for. And one of the guys said, well, what happens if no one says anything? We don't ever have that problem. Like, we should almost, whoever doesn't have anything to say, please put your hand up, and then just count on all the other ones, right? So, but isn't that, it's so good when we join it together, and we combine our hearts, and we just say thanks. And I'm sorry, I feel bad sometimes, because I still see your hands. I know we could keep doing this. Doesn't stop you, though, from keeping on doing it. We continue to say thanks to God, and we bring this as an offering, right? That's what worship really is. It's an offering. We bring it to God, and we say, this is our thanks. This is our thanksgiving. It's so much more important, even, I think, than even the money that we bring. You can give money. You can be not thankful. You just do it because you're religious or because you were taught to do it or out of obligation or whatever. And I mean, giving money is important. It's a part of our lives. But when we really express our gratitude, it comes from our hearts. And it's just all we're saying today, God, is we love you. And we want to say thank you. Not that everything's perfect, like a number of you said. Everything isn't perfect. Not everything is wonderful. I'm not living in a utopia yet. But I do have a God who is real. And he, as someone said, he never leaves me. He never forsakes me. He's with me through the storm and through the fire. He's with me when I don't feel him. Even, get this? He's even there then. Because he doesn't depend on my feelings. He's there. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you, he says. Yeah. We're going to open God's Word and hear what he has for us today. Today, we're going to carry on in another story in Luke chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, just turn to Luke chapter 8. If you remember right, we've been talking for the last little while about that story of the sinful woman, she's called in Scripture, and she comes up behind Jesus, and she holds him by his feet, and she's just sorrowful for her sin. And she anoints his feet with this perfume, and then she cries so much tears that she has to wipe the tears away. And Jesus commends her, even though the disciples, particularly Judas, and in the story that Luke tells, Simon says, why is she even in this house? If you even knew who this woman was, he said, you wouldn't have anything to do with her, right? Well, here's another story today, another one of Jesus' stories, about another woman who came up behind him and who needed healing and who needed to be touched by Jesus. And we're going to spend some time with this. And so we're reading today from Luke chapter 8. Is it 7? No, it's 8. Verse 40. 7 was last time, so we're just kind of turning a couple pages. And we're going to start reading there. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Just stop here a minute. You need to kind of understand this, that Jesus had gone out in a boat. He went across Galilee, and he cast out a demon out of a man there who was named Legion. So he had left, But he came back again, and what happened while Jesus was gone is that there were all kinds of people saying, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, and the crowd started to grow, so that by the time Jesus came back in the boat across Galilee, there was apparently a really large crowd of people. So they're waiting for him, and a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus said. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowded and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, James, and John, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She's not dead, but asleep." Well, they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." And her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. And Jesus told them to give her something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Amen. Imagine they were astonished, right? I mean, this is the kind of Jesus that we worship, right? This is the same Savior who reigns today. We still worship by the Word and the Spirit, and He is the Word, right? We still believe that He's the God who can heal and do the impossible, things that we don't at all even expect. Wow. And this is, there's so much in here. So if today you're going, "Well, he didn't get onto the stuff I wanted to hear," well, maybe come again next week. Here's a good incentive, right? Don't go camping. just kidding. I do want to read one thing before we go on. I want to read Mark's version, because part of what we've been doing is just comparing some of the different narratives, the different Gospels, the different way they recorded it, and it's kind of interesting to see what Mark said. There's a few little differences in what Mark said, and I'll just read it. You just listen. Mark said this. It's the same story. He said, "A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years was there." He adds this part. "She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all that she had. Instead of getting better, she grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought," and I like what we get here, because we get what was going on in her mind, right? Because this is what she thought: "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Luke doesn't tell us that part. Mark tells us that part. She thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." And immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Immediately. Praise God. Amen. So here we have this great crowd of people, and they're all waiting for Jesus to come back. They're sailing on the boat, coming back. And Jesus had been really growing in popularity at this point in his ministry. Been doing some amazing things. There were some unbelievable miracles that were happening. And people were starting to take notice of this, and he was becoming a true celebrity, for good or for better or for worse. You know, that wasn't always a good thing. But in this case, you know, he was a celebrity. He was growing in popularity, and the people were hungry for more. They wanted to know more who this Jesus was, and they'd been watching him, and clearly this woman who had been hemorrhaging for 12 years, and we don't know exactly what her situation was. Maybe she needed a hysterectomy. Maybe it was something else. But whatever her situation was, she suffered with this for 12 years of her life. And clearly, somewhere along the line, she had been seeing what Jesus was doing. Because she comes with faith. We're going to get into this. But she comes with faith. She had seen what Jesus had done in Galilee and what he had done maybe other places. She'd seen when Jesus had touched people's eyes and they could see, or where he healed lepers, or where he had cast out demons. She knew that there was something special about this Jesus, and she wasn't about to let him go without touching him, right? Which is really a cool story. I love the story. The more I study it, the more I get into it. It's so exciting. One of the astounding statements in this story that Luke tells us, and he says it in a different way than Mark, because he's got a different purpose, he's got a different audience who's listening to him, but one of the astounding things that he tells us is that there were so many people in the crowd, excuse me, so many who were coming to see him. He says it this way, that they almost crushed Jesus. Think about that. They were pushing up against him, right? They were trying to get close. You know, they were reaching across. Everyone wanted to get close to Jesus. There were so many. What an amazing statement. They almost crushed him. They wanted to get close. They were elbowing, you know, to get nearer. They were rubbing shoulders. There was such a crowd. He must have, you know, had that claustrophobic feeling that you get sometimes when there's so many people around you and they're pushing, you know, they're pressing against Jesus. We use that term sometimes nowadays, you know, pressing to Jesus. Well, they were doing that and it wasn't a good thing because they were almost crushing him. And I was thinking about that. Today I got a couple of I wonder statements. And when I say an I wonder statement, it's not necessarily that I'm declaring something to be true. I'm wondering, the Spirit of God is moving in my heart, and I'm wondering some things. And one of the things I'm wondering today, when I read that passage, is I wonder about the crowds that we're a part of. And I wonder if sometimes we don't get lost in the crowd, and if we don't, because we're in the crowd, if we don't sometimes crush Jesus. Everything nowadays is bigger is better. We need bigger groups, bigger churches. $10 billion last year was spent in North America on church additions or church buildings. And, you know, this is really not an issue that we had 50 years ago. There weren't huge churches like that. But nowadays, and I'm not saying huge churches are bad, I'm just wondering something here today. I'm wondering about whether in the crowd, as we get parts of bigger crowds, And that becomes a trend where bigger is better and bigger, more bigger, and everything is mega and everything is massive. We wonder if Jesus isn't getting squeezed out because of the crowds that we're part of. And the one thing that stands out that's amazing about this woman that Luke wants us to understand, here's the real point, is that of all of these people who are in the crowd, and there may have been thousands, all these people who are pressing into Jesus, and they wanted a little piece of him, and they're rubbing shoulders, and they're elbowing their way, there was only one person who actually touched him. I mean, who actually touched him. Lots of people were touching him, but there's only one who was healed, right? And I wonder sometimes if we're so enthralled by the crowd. Here's the second thing I wanted to wonder about is, I wonder if we don't sometimes love the crowd more than we love Jesus. We love the crowd. There's something enticing about a crowd. I've been there before. If you're in a big crowd, and you know, you go to, you're not all Flames fans, but that's your problem. You know, I went to a Flames game, right? And there was it was full of people, and they won a big game. It was in, I forget what month it was. It was like, whatever, near the end. Just to get into the playoffs, they needed to win this big game. And we're walking with my boys, you know, my sons that came with me. We're walking out, and there's a crowd of, you know, all going to the Red Mile. I didn't go to the Red Mile, but, you know, you get this feeling. We're all part of something. Here we go. We're in the crowd, and we're loving it, and we're slapping. Everyone's slapping hands and praising something. They don't know what they're praising. They're worshiping, actually, but they don't even know who they're worshiping. But the point is, there's something about the crowd that's intriguing. And I wonder sometimes if we aren't, in the world we live in today, if we're not more interested in the crowd than we are in Jesus. And the problem with that is that we're losing that personal walk with God. That personal relationship that we have with Jesus is lacking. It's not what it used to be. So I want you to hear me today. Because I believe that because of the crowds, and I think you can actually get lost in a church this size too, so it's not really, I'm not really speaking about the churches that are five. I am in some ways, because I think that's even worse there. You have 5,000-10,000 people, it's so easy to get lost in the crowd that we crush Jesus. There's no Jesus left, right? But you can do that anywhere, and what I'm really trying to say, I'm trying to put this in a positive way, is that it's so important for all of us to have that personal walk with God. That personal walk with the Father through Jesus Christ so that we actually touch Him, right? Now, I'm not just touching the guy who's ahead of me, who's touching the girl who's ahead of him, who's touching the cousin of Jesus. I mean, to really touch Jesus. Now, you have access to that. Do you realize that? By the power of the Spirit, God's Spirit is in you. You have a connection to God. And a lot of times we get stuck in the big group and we only know how to worship corporately. Now, I love corporate worship. Don't get me wrong. I love, like when we had our service a couple weeks ago at the Westerner, 2,500 people, there's a choir, there's a band, there's a good speaker. All of that is awesome. I love corporate worship. I love it when the body comes together and praises God. But what's missing in a lot of people's lives nowadays, in the modern day Christian, is that his own or her own personal walk with God has been limited to just corporate worship. And almost all we do is only worship in a group. There's studies that speak about how different it is today for the Christian as it was 50 years ago. And that clearly, 50 years ago, the average Christian was, you know what they were doing? They were in the Word of God. 50 years ago, we were living on farms, which is different than this today. We didn't have iPhones or TVs. Or if you had TV, you had one channel, it was black and white. Right? 50 years ago, the average Christian was in prayer. My father's generation was a praying generation. Honestly, that if you were a Christian in those days, it was a normal thing that you would spend time in God's Word. You had a person. You worshiped God. It was great to come together and you'd be in that little corner church that sat on a quarter section and you were there with 30 people. That was a great day, but they had an everyday talk with God. You understand? Everyone knew the Word of God. Nowadays, there's a new statistic out that 1 out of 5 Christians read the Bible in their lives. 20% are reading the Bible. 80% think the Bible is holy. That's interesting. Or they think it should be a revered word. The question is there something about the Word of God that's special? Does God speak through His Word? 80% will go, yeah, it's a good book. And they have 4.5 Bibles. The average family in North America has 4.5 Bibles in their home, but they're not reading it. And the point I'm making is that the most that we do nowadays is that we worship God in the masses. We join with the crowds, and that can be really valuable, but if that's all you're doing, you're missing out on your personal touch. Don't let anyone rob you of your personal... Don't worry, I scared you. I don't know if you saw that or not. Sorry. Don't let anyone rob you of touching Jesus. You hear me? Don't let anyone rob you of touching Jesus. Yes, we celebrate what we get to do here together, but that does not take away from what you need to do on your own every single day. Getting on your knees, praying to God, getting in the Word. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you memorized a chapter out of God's Word? Because you know what? People aren't doing that. 50 years ago, I don't want to bemoan the past here. 50 years ago, people memorized God's Word. They knew God's Word. Partly because there weren't nearly as many Bibles as there were nowadays. 100 years ago, it was even more. People knew God's Word. They memorized it. They had it committed to heart. Don't let anyone steal that personal touch that God has made available for you. And let's not be followers of the crowd. Again, I love the crowd. I love all you guys. And sometimes the crowd is bigger and sometimes it's less. But you know what? I want to touch Jesus. I love being touched by you. I love the encouragement. I enjoy the hugs and the handshakes. But if I come here and I haven't been touched by Jesus, it's my fault. My fault. I need to find Him in the crowd. I need to make sure that the crowd doesn't get in the way of Him. And I just need to touch Him and know that He loves me, that everything's in control, that he wants to heal me, that he cares about me. And the same is true for you. One of the astounding things about this woman who suffered for 12 long years with this terrible affliction, this bleeding, but one of the things that stands out in this scripture and that Luke really wants to make sure we understand is that she was a woman of faith. I want to address that today too. She was a woman of faith. It isn't something that Jesus actually said very often to people. In fact, more often than not, Jesus looked at people, especially leaders, especially some of the religious people, and he bemoaned their lack of faith. Oh, ye of little faith. It was almost like that was his pet name for his disciples and for the Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, ye of little faith. But in this case, he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. And as a matter of fact, this is the only time Jesus ever uses that word daughter. It's a term of endearment. Daughter, your faith has healed you. It's because you have such great faith. It's because you worked your way through the crowd and you found that you could just reach and touch just the corner because you believed. You believed that might do something. You believed that I am the healer. You believe that I am the Messiah. You believe that I'm going to do something in your life that no one else can do. And that's all about faith, right? And you know, really the two words that start faith, the two words that begin faith in her life and in any of our lives are the words, what if? Because that's what she was thinking. Well, what if? What if? What if he, you know, I saw what he did yesterday, and I saw what he did last week. I saw the healings, and I saw, you know, that he cast demons out. What if he could do something for me? What if? That's where faith starts. What if, this is what she was thinking. We know this because Mark tells us what she was thinking. What if I just got close enough to just touch the coat that he has? What if something happened? What if I would be healed of this? I don't know what your what if statement is today, but it's really a good place to start. It's a place to dream. What if? What if? What if this Jesus really is who he says he is? What if he could heal Ruth Ann? And he can, right? What if he could restore my family? What? Wow! Do I even dare dream this? Do I even dare think this? Because I might be setting myself up here. And that's part of the risk of this. That's where faith comes in, right? Faith comes in when you say, what if he could set me free from my addiction? Are you kidding me? Is that even possible? And the answer to that question is, yeah. You better believe it. Believe it's the word, right? What if? Is it possible? Could he heal me? Is it possible? Is it even possible that I could maybe even leave this place today and I wouldn't have this illness. I wouldn't have this cancer. There's 3 or 4 of our people who have that cancer today that have been diagnosed. You know, how many? That's happening all the time. Faith starts with those two words, what if? And then it continues where we kind of start seeking after Jesus. You start wondering and you believe it. What if Jesus, what if he can make my job exactly what it should be? Or what if he could restore my marriage? Or what if he could set me free from my depression? What if? And then it's that endeavor and that walk of faith to come to Jesus and to reach out and to touch him. Right? She had great faith. And Jesus commended her for her faith, and he says, it's because of your faith that you've been healed. It isn't for any other reason. It isn't because you're a good person. It isn't because you suffered for 12 years. You know, sometimes we think that, and God goes, yeah, okay, it's been long enough. 12 years, you're going to get healed now because you put in your time. That is not what this is about. It is only about faith, right? Because she had faith, and she reached out, and she touched Jesus. Because she was willing to step away from the crowd. She didn't care about the crowds at all. Did you notice? She didn't care about the crowds. All she cares about is getting past them all so that she can get and touch Jesus. That's all she cared about. Right? That's all she cared about. And notice this too, because I believe that this is an important thing, and it's what God's Word says, is that not only does she have the faith to touch Jesus, but she also has the faith to welcome Jesus to do whatever he wants. Because when Jesus felt the power leave him. What an amazing story that is, right? I mean, there's so much to this. We're going to get to more of this. But, you know, Jesus walking along, and all of a sudden, whoa, wait a minute. Someone touched me. And the disciples go, are you nuts? Everyone's been touching you. No, this is different, Jesus says, because I felt power leave me. I felt the power leave me, right? Right? She had faith in that. She had faith in Jesus. Right? And that's, I forgot what I was going to say, but I missed something here. But, you know, I kind of got off on a little sidetrack here, but it's all about, I know what I was going to say, that she surrendered to him. So here's what she didn't do. She didn't get the miracle and then go, he knows something's going on here. I'm out of here. I'm heading for the hills. Whew. Right? No, she said, okay, I'll own up to this. And I believe what that really means is she's saying, okay, I'm willing to stand before you, Jesus, and you do what you want to do. I'm here. Yes, I touched you. She owned up to it. I don't know if I'd have done that after 12 years. I might have gone, you know what? I'm feeling pretty good here. Bye, you know, feet don't fail me now. But she didn't do that. She stood before Jesus, and she said, yes, it was me. And that's when Jesus said, your faith has healed you, right? It's there's a part of all of this, and it's an important part, where we seek him with all our heart, where we wanna be men and women of faith so that we are not afraid to reach out. And we're going to touch him. We're going to say, what if? We're going to believe him. You want to know what the answer is to the what if? Well, read this. Here's the what ifs. You want to know what Jesus can do? You want to know if he can heal or if he can restore or if he can forgive? Maybe there's someone here today going, I don't know if I can ever be forgiven. You're wrong about that because it says in here, it doesn't matter what I say. This is honestly the truth. It does not matter what I say. What matters is what it says in here. It says that you can be forgiven, that no matter what you've done, you can stand in a right relationship with the Father because of what Jesus did. Or maybe your what if has to do with something that happened to you. Unfortunately, sometimes there's some really awful things that happen to people. And they've been abused, or they've been raped, or they've been taken advantage of. Maybe your what if is, you're going, well, what if, is it even possible that this could be this weight and this feeling of being dirty or this feeling of being unloved or this immense loneliness that's just so deep inside of me, what if that could be taken and removed from me? Well, that Bible says yes. Amen? Amen? You can clap for that. That Bible says, yeah. Yeah. Jesus says, yeah, I'm here. If you'll touch me and you'll just reach out, I can deal with that. Really, you know that none of this is hard for him? Do you get that? Like, this wasn't hard. He didn't have to, you know, I got to heal this woman and I'm going to really make this work. He didn't even know what happened. She just touched him. None of this is hard for Jesus. He doesn't go, you come to him maybe today and you go, well, what if? And you think your what if is such a huge thing. I got news for you. Jesus doesn't go, okay, I got to use all my power now because this is going to be a hard one. No! This is easy. All you got to do is touch him. It's up to you. It's up to you to reach out. It's up to you. You just reach out for Jesus. You have to have that personal connection with Christ. And it's easy for him. His burden is easy. He can take your burden from you. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. It takes faith. Jesus said in another place, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he also said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Maybe what he meant was that we're going to be so lost in the crowd. You know, maybe he's asking that question. Will my people be so lost in the masses that they won't have that personal faith anymore? They might have huge communal faith, but will they have that personal faith? Will they know the word? Amen? And then lastly, just last thing I want to just bring up, and again, we're not done. God's got more to say here. But today I think the message about this woman who had this disease for 12 years and who lived with the incredible pain. It says she suffered. She suffered for 12 years. She suffered at the hand of many doctors. You notice Luke doesn't say that because he was a doctor. He was being kind to his other doctors maybe. But Mark tells us, yeah, Mark tells us the real truth, right? He suffered at the hand of many doctors and it cost her all her money, right? She was broke, right? But, you know, it has to do, that disease that she had, whatever it was, when you're losing blood all the time, the word is you're anemic. You don't have the strength, you don't have the energy, you don't the blood, you don't have the iron in you anymore. You're weary, and you feel like you can barely walk, and you have no energy. So here's the end of the message today. It's for people who might be feeling like that. Because like that woman, there are some of us here today who are spiritually anemic. Right now, you're feeling it. And it's been a long time since you've had that fresh burst of the Holy Spirit in your life. And this is for you today. We're just sort of dragging our feet spiritually. It's really, really hard to get into this. Every time maybe you can relate to this. I heard someone say that the other day. Every time I open it, I don't even know what I read when I'm done. Well, you're spiritually anemic. You are bleeding, and it's time to stop the bleeding. You hear me? And I can't make the bleeding stop, but Jesus can if you'll just reach out to him. And I believe that there are churches full of people who are spiritually anemic. They don't have energy. They don't have strength. They can barely drag their butt around, spiritually I'm speaking. Right? They can barely make it to church. They can barely pray. When they pray, they fall asleep. Well, what Jesus did for this woman, he offers to do for you and me. He says, it's time for me to energize you again. It's time for the bleeding to stop. It's time that I fill you so with my spirit that you're going to have an energy that doesn't come from you, right? You're not going to just be bleeding internally. I am going to give you the power of my spirit so that you are alive in Christ. We should be alive, right? I mean, am I reading this wrong? Isn't that what the scripture says? We should be alive in Christ. We should be so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are bubbling with joy. We've got a reason to tell the world about Jesus. And you know what we do? Oh, I am so tired. I can't even get my job. You know, and I got this gloomy look on my... I mean, man alive. Do you struggle with... Are you in that wasteland? Are you in that desert today? Well, I'm going to tell you right now that the tendency today, here's what you're going to want to do. You're going to want to get out of here as fast as possible. As soon as the pastor says amen and he sings one of them songs, I'm out of here. That's the last thing you should be doing. If you hear God say to you today, you have been spiritually weak, there is no energy in you, you're just bleeding out, man. You need to respond to that. Because it's not me, but it's Jesus who's saying, come to me, because I want to fill you with new life. I want to stop the bleeding. I want to give you power and energy. You hear that word energy? It's part of what it's dynamo. It's the dynamo of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the words, one of the Greek words that's used to describe the Spirit is dynamo. There's power. There's power in the Spirit. Do you got power? Do you really have that power? You know, even if it's just a firecracker power, take that for today. And maybe tomorrow it'll be dynamite. But take the power. Because if we're just walking around with, slumped over with our hands in our pockets, we're going, oh, Lord, my God, when I am awesome. Right? I wonder what God thinks. Come on. Did you read Psalm 8? How majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic! Right? So, I don't know. You know your hearts. You know where you're at. Right? You know if you're anemic, if you're lacking that energy. And I'm telling you, on the basis of God's word, that what he promises you is to give you power. He says, I will send my spirit, and you will have the power to go into Jerusalem and Samaria, or Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I'm going to give you power to do it. And you don't need to walk around dragging your feet. And if that's what you've been doing, it's time to change that. It really is. If you haven't been, maybe you're wondering, what's the answer to that question? I don't know if I'm anemic or not. Well, you should know. Honestly, you don't need me to tell you that. Are you reading your Bible? Are you memorizing Scripture? Is going to church a joy? Are you in the Word? Are you in, really in the Word? And is it, when you read it, do you go, oh, that's crazy cool. I love it. You don't need to talk like me. But you know what I mean, right? Right? You don't need to say crazy cool. That's just not a cool thing to say, but I just said that. Anyway, are you excited about it? Are you excited about it? Do you, here's a question. Are you praying? Ooh. Are you praying with your wife? Are you? Most, and I ask this question of a lot of guys. Some of you have asked this question. Are you praying with your wife? It was, when I started praying with Crystal, it was the thing that changed our marriage. Are you praying with your wife? You go, no, that's just too weird. You know, I can't, I pray, she prays, but we don't pray together. You know, you got to pray together. It's a sign of how strong and how energetic and how filled you are with the Holy Spirit. And I just want to end on that note and say, you know what? We serve a living Savior who's in the world today. We serve a Savior who's alive, and He wants you to be alive. And so today, I just want to pray for you. And maybe have a few other people come up here and pray. If you're struggling with this very thing, and your walk with God has been really, it's just come to a standstill. It's not even a walk anymore. It's not, it used to be a stroll, and then it got to be a saunter, and now it's, you're just standing there, and you're going, I don't know what to do anymore. It's time. And we can pray for you. As a body of Christ, we're going to pray that God will re-energize you. Is there anyone here today who is under the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now? You know that this is a message you need to hear. I'm going to ask you to just, if there's anyone here today, just stand up. Is this something you needed to hear? Cool, yeah, good. That's good. There's more, but you're the ones that dared to stand. I'm going to wait a minute. I'm going to wait a minute. It's time. It's time for the bleeding to stop. It's time for the power and the energy of the Holy Spirit to fill you, right? I mean, it's a promise that God makes. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray a minute, and you can keep standing. If there's more that want to stand, just stand, Lord, right now, just before we, I don't even know what we're doing here, God, but I do know that you want us to respond to your word, and that you call us out of darkness into light, and you call us into a living and a vibrant relationship, and we are being honest here today saying it isn't what it should be. And that in some ways, we feel like we've been dying spiritually. It is our heart's desire today, Jesus, for that to change. And so, we're going to, just by standing today, is the way we reach out to touch you, Jesus. And even though the enemy is just trying to push us down in our chair, we pray right now that you'll bind him in the name of Jesus. Just bind him and cast him from this place, that there'll be nothing that stops us from responding to your good word. In the name of Jesus, remove the enemy. Remove him from our thoughts and from what we think other people might be thinking. Because God, all that really matters today is that you stop the bleeding in our lives so that we can have the power of your Spirit, a power that surges, a power that gives us the ability to do the works of Christ. And that includes healing, and that includes driving out demons, and that includes telling the world that Jesus is alive and that he forgives our sin. Thank you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you. We need to stop dragging our feet. It's time that we start marching on as soldiers of the cross, marching forward and marching together. And we confess that in some ways we have lost you in the crowd, and we're sorry for that. Forgive us, God. We've lost you in the crowd. The crowd has crushed you out of our lives. We want that to change today. And we ask you to just stand before us right now. Stand before us so that we can touch you. We reach out right now in Jesus' name. In the name of our Savior, Jesus. You said that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. So we reach out. We put our hands out. Everyone just reach your hand out. We want to touch the hem of your garment, Jesus. We touch the hem of your garment and pray, God, that, you know what I really pray, God? I pray that you're going to feel the power leave you right now. In the name of Jesus, as we reach out, let the power be communicated. Let it be of effect from you to us right now. in the name of Jesus. That the power of your Spirit would live inside of us. And we'll have a new desire, a new fervor, a new zeal. Let your people be a people of zeal. A zeal for you and for the cross and for your kingdom, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. And I want to, you know, if maybe you needed a more of a personal touch from any one of us, you don't need to go. You have something that you really need prayer for. You've been waiting for God. Is that true of anyone here today? You've been waiting, just seeking God. There's a great opportunity for us just to minister to each other. And I want to ask Pastor Bob, and Jim is here from Australia. You guys want to just come in front? I know you don't mind praying with people, do you? No, I didn't think so. We've got a couple of guests here today. And maybe, Frank, would you join? Frank, you want to come to the front? There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, God. Come on up to the front, Frank. And Frank has a gift of healing. Maybe you need healing today. Come and see Frank. And God uses that gift, right? That's right. And Norma, would you come too? We need a couple of our leaders. So maybe if Norma and if Chris, would you come as well? We're going to have a few more people stand up here. You can come. Maybe you need to actually... Just bear with me a minute. We got 8 minutes, so I'm okay. Maybe you need someone to actually touch you today. That's okay, right? You need that through Jesus through one of us can just, maybe it's just a simple act of just putting our arms on you or putting our hands on you and saying, Jesus loves you. Amen? So I just encourage you to come. While we sing this last song, just come for prayer or just come for a touch. Faith can move mountains. Let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Salvation, you loved us from the start. Waiting here for you with our hands and lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore.
Singing hallelujah. image you.
Yes, Jesus.
We adore. Faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you.
You're the Lord of all creation.
You're the Lord of all creation. Still you know my heart, the author of salvation. Love is from the start. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you.
Just come.
We adore. Singing hallelujah.
Come to Jesus.
Waiting here for you. With our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you. We adore, singing with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing
blessing. Come, if there's more than one prayer. I just really get a sense that God wants me to say today that you are forgiven. There's a few of you that have been beating yourself up for a long time.
Maybe you've gone through a divorce, or you've gone through some brokenness, or you just did something awful. It doesn't matter. God's forgiven you. God loves you so much. There's a brand new clean slate. And sometimes that sin or whatever happened, it keeps God at arm's length. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to keep Jesus at arm's length, keep him at a distance. And he's saying to you today, he's saying to the body here today, come to me. Just come to me. You are worthy. You are righteous. You are holy because I say you are.
That's right. Amen.
Because my blood is on you. Amen? Yeah. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. God give you his peace. God give you the power that you need to go from this place. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? God bless you. We adore. Sing hallelujah. Waiting here for you.
truth. She doesn't feel like coming.